Hey everyone, welcome back to the Gary V Audio Experience once again. I'm Jacob from Team Gary, and today we have an awesome podcast for you. Gary sits down with Ryan Smith, the owner of the Utah Jazz, to talk all things NBA All-Star Weekend 2023, actionable life and business advice, what it takes to run a sports franchise, and so much more. Gary is going to be at NBA All-Star Weekend this year in Salt Lake City, Utah. There is a link in the description of this podcast that will lead you to Gary's blog post, which will tell you all the details you need to know, how to buy tickets to the event that Gary is going to be at, and so much more. We really hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, drop your comments in the Spotify comment section down below, and we will see you in the next one.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Vayner Nation, what is good? Another live podcast, not clips from a talk or a video, but an actual podcast. I know you love those so much. And I think you're gonna really love this one. My guest today is someone I adore, someone who's accomplished professionally the things that I'm up to and hopefully would like to achieve. Ryan Smith is a tremendous entrepreneur who built a very large business and then created an opportunity for himself to now be the owner of the Utah Jazz. I'm especially excited to have him on because we're recording this just a mere 10 or so days before All-Star Weekend in Utah. We'll try to get this out right away. I'm actually putting out a blog post that I'll be there and actually doing a public event, a little bit of, instead of a kissing booth, a Q&A booth at the Fan Experience. We'll talk about that, but there's a lot we can touch on, but Ryan, I think, to me, represents a new breed of ownership across the leagues where, you know, youthful energy, grew up in the internet age, and I had a great trip out to Utah a couple months ago. Just incredible what's going on in Salt Lake. We can talk about that, but I'll open it up for him to say hello and set the tone a little bit to all of you of what he wants to say. Ryan, thanks for being on the show.
Gee, what's up? Hey, anytime, man. I'm excited for everything that's coming. If you are anywhere near or want to be around Salt Lake, we've got some big stuff planned for jam session and everything. Gary and I are doing an event. We've got Q&A. We've got 60,000 people, 60,000 tickets for what I grew up going to for All-Star. I mean, 30 years ago, we had All-Star in Utah, and I didn't have enough money to go to games or wasn't part of that, but they had this jam session, what was basically like a basketball convention.
Yep.
And it was super cool. And like I remember as a kid going through there, and like when the league said they were coming back and we had just taken over, one of the things that was a must was we've got to bring back this jam session. And it's cool you're a part of it, man.
I love it. Tell everybody what jam session is.
Yeah, it's basically we've got the convention center, which is adjacent from the arena. And there's, you know, and I've been to a lot of games, a lot of All-Star games. And one of the challenges I have is like, I go to the All-Star game. I want to hoop. I like want to pick up a ball. You get the vibe. It's everything basketball. And that's always been hard to do. And so we brought in, I think, 14 full court basketball courts with legends and games. Then on top of that, there's all sorts of carnival games. It's basically a basketball convention. Utah is a basketball state. It really
no
is.
Question.
Like, this is what we do. And so we want to have like the basketball convention in about 175,000 square feet of convention space where people can activate brands, individuals like yourself who can come in there and kind of bring the culture of basketball, of hoops, of the NBA all together with a young fan base. One of the unique things about the Jazz is we have 60,000 kids that participate in our youth leagues called Junior Jazz. 60,000 kids that are part of this Junior Jazz program that every Saturday they all hoop with the people around them. And, you know, I played that as a kid. My kids play that now. And so this is a chance for all of them to come as well. And it's really a community event, which I think adds a whole new component to All-Star. I understand why people don't do it every time there's an All-Star, because it takes a lot of work to curate. But it's going to be a really cool event. And that's only one of the things we're doing. We just did We took the west side of the arena, and we did a partnership with Cactus Jack, where Travis is going to come in and do a rail jam, which is a massive snowboard event. They're going to produce concerts every night and then pop-up shops all the way around with Cactus Jack, collabs or whatever they're doing. And so we're really activating the entire city, and hopefully it'll go as we got planned.
What, a lot of people are probably curious about this question. What was the most surprising thing for you in reality of owning a sports team versus the ideology or thinking you had coming into it?
Yeah, that's a good word you use, ideology, because I think it's like just like yourself, like your dreams, the Jets. Like you think you know what that's going to be like. In a similar way, like I grew up playing junior jazz, and I remember talking with Adam. I was looking at another team because that's what's available. You just like the NFL, like even if you want to own a team or you're in a position, fortunately, that you might be able to play in that space, timing is very, very hard. Like the Utah Jazz have been in one family, the Millers, who had done an incredible job for 35 years, pretty much moved the team here, were part of that. They were playing half the games in Vegas just to make money. And, it was never going to leave the family. And so when we got a chance to do this, I think there's two things. Adam said, hey, Rye, if you're lucky to be a part of the NBA, like that's great. If you win the lottery, it's almost like you can be the governor. He's like, but no one gets their team.
I think about that all the time, brother. I'm always like petrified that I'm going to have to buy like the Saints. I think about am I going to panic? Like, for me, it's kind of like Jets or bust. Like I think a lot of my contemporaries, friends, you, Matt, who just picked up the Suns, other people I'm talking to, I feel like there's a macro, like this would be cool. I love the sport. I love the business. I'm going to be able to achieve this goal. For me, I always genuinely speak to myself about, like, I wonder at 80, am I going to hit the panic button and just buy like the Washington Nationals in baseball? like I don't know like what's going to happen. To your point, the concept of having that dream, but then ending up getting your team, that's like needle in a haystack, because to your point, timing, if the Johnsons decide to sell the Jets next year, it's going to be too early for me. Like I could do a lot of things. I'll do what I can, but like, boy, oh boy, it would be much better if that happened in 16 years.
So I've had to kind of look at it and say, hey, look, I mean, I was down the road with another team, and thank goodness my wife's like, Ryan, remember you're a Jazz fan, right? Like the dream can't be bigger than like the mission. And this is after the Jazz had basically said, no, like timing's not right for us. We're not doing it. And so I had to burn the bridge on the other opportunity, even though I thought it might be one of the only ones there. And then 6 months later, I get a call going, hey, you still interested, right? And it's like, is this real? Now back to your question of like stepping into the opportunity. First of all, I care about it deeply. I care about the community in a way that there's probably days where it would be nice not having all that institutional knowledge in the 30 years of growing up, because there's things that I wouldn't see that require a lot more work. And maybe I'm overcompensating for, given the history. I see some other individuals where, whether it's a private equity or group or not, they're not as emotional about it. I'm emotional. Like, I want to win. I know what it's like to be a fan.
I see you on Twitter. Like, you get, like, it's my biggest laugh I have with myself when Jet fans are going to yell at me and I'm going to be like, shut your fucking mouth. I'm a bigger fan than you. I'm going to bring up, like, weird... Like, I'm going to bring up weird six-round picks from small schools that were punters. And be like, I feel like my fights with fans are going to be like, hey, who was number 69 from Cincinnati, offensive lineman from, in the 90s? Yo, you don't know Jason Fabini? Then shut the fuck up.
Yeah, Adrian Dantley was here the other night, and I was like, dude, I had a poster. I was like geeking out. I had a poster of you on my wall as a kid, the palace guard from the Saul Palace. And everyone's like, what, Ryan? Why are you? And I was like, whoa, this is incredible, right? And so... I think I understand that, but also like we want to win, and that makes winning that much sweeter, man. And so I think there's something special. I think the growth of Utah, I think coming in it from that angle, like with our tech movement that we've created, tech in a lot of states has been theoretical. We've experienced a Silicon Valley tech boom here in Utah, which has fundamentally changed our state.
And a lot of people don't know it. You know, when I analyze it from afar, the mountains, a lot of people don't know it because Salt Lake or Utah has done incredibly well in the B2B space on tech. And so I think it's a hair under the radar for the masses listening right now because it's not consumer as much. Of course, there's been some great consumer, but to your point, I'll let you rattle it off, like you and many of your contemporaries that you grew up with in the last 20 years, 25 years, you established this incredible execution. A lot of it happened in B2B, which is why it's a hair under the radar. You agree with that?
Yeah. I mean we have a lot of consumer companies, but look, and actually very few places outside of Silicon Valley have mastered major B2C. You know, you look at Facebook, you look at Google. I mean, Amazon's a little different. But, you know, we're not watching Nashville or Austin really pop out and create. B2C requires a lot of funding, a lot of creativity and timing, you know, and success breeds success. So entrepreneurs grow up watching what they see around them. And we've put on a clinic when it comes to B2B software, enterprise software, and infrastructure software. And if I look around, that being said, I mean, Ancestry.com's two doors down from me, you know, Vivint, where it was smart home and all of that. I mean, we had $3 billion companies within 1,000 yards in Provo, Utah, where Qualtrics started, which is insane. I mean, that was a big moment. But if you look at what's happened because of the tech growth and, you know, Adobe buying Omniture and Adobe moving here, we're number one for the least unemployment, right? Upward mobility is number one. Fastest growing states, you know, seven out of the last 10 years. And you look at compounding growth and what that does, it means that we're the youngest state right now, right? Which you love, like you love youth. I was a kid that had way too much responsibility at such a young age and was able to kind of grow into that. And I think that's what makes Utah special, especially right now, is we've got a lot of youth doing big things and they have permission.
Take me behind the curtain. You've been putting a ton of energy for this All-Star weekend. You've owned the Jazz for how long, Ray?
2 years.
In sports land, when the All-Star game comes to your town, that's a big deal, right? It's a showcase. You get to host the other owners. There's a lot going on there, right? You know, back to youth and innovating and back to the way I started this, how big are the stakes in your mind that this is a home run, right? Because I've seen you really like put a lot of energy to this. Is this back to you loved the All-Star game in Utah 30 years ago and it was this fun thing and jam set and you just are doing it because you're that kind of human and it's just kind of fun? Or back for all the entrepreneurs here who, by the way, maybe hosting a conference at their, or maybe even hosting a big meeting at their office in a 40 office infrastructure. Like, what's hosting the party? Like, what does it mean? Is this kind of like, you know, just behind the curtain, like, why is this important? Like, what are you thinking about? Why are you going so gung-ho?
So it is a showcase. You get to do it once every 30 years. Right. And so I think if you back up to that premise, it's like we get one chance at this. Coming out of the pandemic, this is probably the first full send All-Star game that both the league's going behind and everything else. And that's been very apparent with what's going on. Essentially, this is the league's event. It is the league's show.
Yeah.
Salt Lake is bigger than just what the league is doing. And so that's what we're trying to do. And I'm going to get a little crazy here, but just to show you, because you talk about events. That's what we've done at Qualtrics for 20 years. I mean, we host our big X4 summit. You've got your your G friends, like you're doing all of that, like, or G con, like you're doing all of that. Like,
you know what? Like, no worries. But you know what? You actually just gave me a good idea. I might rebrand V friends into G friends. I'm going to give that some thought, but keep going.
It works, man. But like, if you look at my wall right here, like we've got like shower boards, right?
I love
it. We went and bought it like Home Depot because this is what we did at Qualtrics.
Yeah.
And then if you look at it, I'll just show you.
Like, I love it. Let's go.
You've got like Wednesday, Friday, and we've got every hour of everything's going on, and then Saturday, and then Sunday, and we're saying, all right, if you're coming through and we look at the entire experience, okay, what do we have right here going on? What other parties are going on?
Right.
So we want people to look at their dance card that night and say, hey, like we're activating things. And so then how does that manifest? Well, in talking to Trav and what he's doing, and we're like, hey, let's bring Cactus Jack in, and we need you to do something here, here, here. He's like, can we do this and that? And or when we're sitting together, we're saying, hey, let's do a Q&A or let's do a talk at this time. And then we're just filling that out to say, hey, the overall experience is completely curated. And then we're asking ourselves, what could go wrong? Just like you would there. Like, what could go wrong? Well, there's not enough Ubers. Well, there's not enough Ubers for an event like this in any city.
Right.
So we're working with our mayor and our governor and taking our natural transportation that's always going and augmenting it with, you know, 18 buses that are now doing every 15-minute loop in the 5 hotels in the arena. And so this is all just part of asking this. And we're never going to get it all right. And everything's great till you put the people in it.
Is snow in play? Could we get like 23 inches? Because Mother Nature, you know, there's a great Russian saying, which is man makes plan and God laughs. Mother Nature has plans sometimes.
It is very, very real, and we've been getting dumped on here, and nothing is more enjoyable than watching Sundance Film Festival come into town, and then it just dumps and like no one's prepped for that. Everyone's all dressed up nice. They got all their outfits on. And the next thing you know, it's just pounding like 2 feet. That's all in the cards. But like,
I want to ask you something before we get out of here. Talk to me about being a fan of players of your favorite team. Then you're the owner and you've got to make personnel decisions. So not only were you a fan, but I know you well enough to know that you walked in there day one and you're looking to build relationships. You know, Qualtrics was so based on experience. We just got to see operational experience literally in real time here. And yet, I also think one of your greatest skills is human experience. I think you give a shit about that. It matters. You understand that is the macro. That to me is the ultimate experience. And so here you are, you walk in a year earlier, you're going to these games and you're a super fan of the guys and team. Now you're the owner. Now you become friends with them in the first month or two. I can't imagine, like, you were a kid in a candy store. You're dapping, you're doing dinners. This is like, you're pinching yourself. And then it gets even crazier because you bring in one of the best executives in sports history and Danny Ainge, who happens to also be a Utah legend. I can't imagine what's going through your mind on that. And then you guys are sitting down and actually having conversations about people like Rudy and Donovan and like making big boy decisions. How tough was that to translate from fan to friend to now you have to detach from both feelings, be in a conference room and like make decisions that are in the best interest of the franchise?
It's brutal, man. Like, I think that, tomorrow's a trade deadline and here we are. Like, it's super difficult. Because you care deeply about people. I'm a people person. Life's about people. And I think you've got to take a step back and say, hey, like, we're all in the NBA. And the good news is there's a lot of people who want to be in Utah and they want to stay in Utah. And that being said, like, you've also, we're trying to build a championship and you're going to have to make tough decisions. But I also think that that's business. Like, you have to be able to manage polar opposite emotions. Like, you've got to be able to grow and also make money and be profitable. You've got to be able to care so deeply about people and in tech and then have them walk out the door for their next gig. We talk about that all the time, Gary. You're training so many of these CMOs that are now going to go out and lead the world. And then you finally get someone that you're jiving with. And it's like, hey, someone calls up and says, here's a top position. That is managing emotions. And so I think this goes very similarly. And I think your effectiveness as a leader or an entrepreneur, a business person, as a spouse, a relationship, is how you can manage these polar opposite emotions. And Danny is incredible. He's one of one. And what I love about Danny is he basically does not lie.
It's huge. It's so funny you said that. I apologize for interrupting. Yeah, it's so weird you said that. Literally, as you were talking, I've been going through a pretty solid transformation of being more candorous. You know, I'd like to think, because I'm a human, I'm protecting my own feelings, that it wasn't about lying, it was about skirting. At worst, it was about passive aggressiveness. But like, I hated conflict, and it was funny as you were talking, I can't believe you just said that about Danny, because that's the only thing that will work in player relationships. I was literally dreaming of me having a quarterback, me deciding, you know, talking to him and being like, you're my fucking guy, we're gonna go down burning together. And then like 9 months later, it's just clear to me as the owner of like, this kid is not that guy. And then like trading him on the day before draft day for a 3rd round pick, and that kid being like, fuck you, Gary, right? Versus me saying, look, I just need to be upfront with you. You're my guy for life. But if the data on the field shows something that makes my intuition change on it, or what your activities are off the field, I'll tell you that things are changing. That's a very different framework. And so to your point, Danny's ability to not lie is like respected by other GMs, respected by agents, but most of all respected by players. And I think it really matters.
Yeah, he told me that from the beginning, right when he came in. He said, I've been in the league 46 years. I've been a GM, I've been a president, and now I'm the CEO. I've never asked for a job once. It's all been handed to me. I know how I wanted to be treated as a player. Red Auerbach sat me down and said, hey, I got to trade you. Where do you want to go? And I appreciated that. I got traded 3 times. He's like, I had 5 kids. Like, it was hard, but like, it's part of the game. At the end of the day, I get paid millions of dollars to play in the NBA. And that's like such a blessing.
That's hard for dynamic people, loving people like you and me. 100%. I know you well enough now, knowing to walk into that. Like, it's just like, you know, when I walked into your office the other day, similar to what happens here, it's just like, it's fam. You're like, that kid was a freshman at BYU when he like, it was an intern. Like, I get it. It's like exactly how I see it. And honestly, it is a vulnerability. You know, I mean, like, it's my natural instincts. If I buy the Jazz when you did, to tell Rudy and Donovan, like, you're going to be here forever. I'm going to retire your number. We're going to fucking win 2 times. Like, it's just, it's the hype. It's the excitement. And you mean it at the time.
Gary, my first week, because it was a shortened COVID season, I hadn't even closed on the team, but we had signed the deal and the Millers said, hey, basically, like, okay, your first 2 assignments, there you go. You got to go re-sign Don and Rudy. Like, right off, like, I mean, I was like 1 day into it. And those, like, I was like, okay, here we go. And then, like, there's an organization and everything. And those were not, I mean, and then looking back, if I would have been like, hey, 2 years later, this is where we would be, I would have said, you're crazy. But, like, it's just part of the journey and it's part of leadership, and you want to be around people that are going to push you. The easy thing to do was probably just to let things go the same way and hope for a different outcome. But for whatever reason, we had to look ahead and say, hey, this probably isn't in the cards. And like, I'll give you a great example. Like, you know, I think there was a lot of narrative out there that, hey, we weren't going to make any moves till after All-Star because we had 2 All-Stars that would be in Utah. And we made big move this summer, even with the fact that it was like not in the cards that we'd have an all-star. We get Lauri Markkanen and he unanimously becomes an all-star. And it's just a great story of like how like change sometimes can be scary and get in the way, especially in a public environment. But at the same time, like, you need to band together with the team you've got for that moment. And these are all chapters, and you need to look at every chapter and say, hey, that was one hell of a chapter. And, you know, that's my pitch for everyone in Utah. Like, this should be the happiest time that you've had in the NBA. And I think that, you know, if I look at our players right now, I think if you went one by one with who's here, they're going to say, hey, I've never been this happy.
You know, to that point, to make this relevant for every individual person, change is scary, but often can be good. My big thing to most people I talk to, all the DMs I get from the kids and the parents and just the way I live my life, is if you are struggling right now, if it doesn't feel good, and when I say struggling, I mean inconvenience sometimes even, right? Like, it's, you know, I think people think that you have to be like burning to the ground, right? And they're like, they don't even realize they're just genuinely unhappy day to day. I mean, do you wake up on Monday morning and are you in a, this is awesome, like this is good, like solid, not like it's okay, or like I can deal with it, or I have to, like whether it's a relationship or a professional thing, or like living by what your parents want or what society wants. You know, I think it was really powerful what you just said. Change, a lot of times people think you have to hit rock bottom. That always happens. People will change when they hit quote unquote rock bottom. I think people have to change when it's kind of not good, or consistently not good, or like below decent, or like a pain in the ass. And my point to them always is, well, you know it's not working right now. So this this concept of deciding, well, it could be worse, you know, is a little bit tricky when you're already not in a great spot. If you're, and back, so like, you were talking in sports terms of like, do we feel like we have the makeup to win an NBA championship, which is the goal of the thing that we do here? For me, that translates, it's a good way to sum this all up for value to every person, regardless of their interest in sports or the All-Star game in Utah. And by the way, one more time while I'm on this rant, I'm coming to Utah. If you're in the general area, I'm about to put out a lot of content, a blog post with the details of my thing. Ryan and the NBA have been so gracious and even gave a discount code to the Jam thing that I'm gonna put in my blog post. So please come see me in Utah. I'm gonna be around quite a bit, and I have a couple official things. One, my one-on-one chat with Ryan. We're gonna be talking Q&A and business, and then my own little Q&A booth, and then I'll just be out and about on town. What I love about the downtown is, it's, you know, you can find me at some level. But yeah, I mean, I think you have to change if you're not happy, and that comes in fancy, amazing situations like you running a team trying to win an NBA championship, but it also means something for Carl, who's driving to work right now listening to this podcast and just hates his fucking job, and it's kind of like, you know you hate your job, so why not make a change and try something else? If that second thing is worse, then do it again. And just get out of that rhythm, to your point.
Yeah, there's ruts that you fall in anything, and they're just ruts. In tech, I think as public companies, everyone's watching a lot of activists come in, and activists will come into the company, and everyone's afraid because they're going to make the changes. And it's almost like we all need to be the activists of our own lives, right? Like, what would an activist do in your life? Someone came in, like, what would they change? Okay, now you go do that. I always hear this story once that, and I don't know how true it is, but it was that, you know, Coca-Cola got into a meeting, had all the executives put their phone in a basket and said, hey, we're about ready to lose the McDonald's contract and it's going to Pepsi and we have to pitch in 12 hours. What are we going to do? And then everyone in the room came up with all these things that they were going to do to change the relationship and better of it. And then the executive said, actually, we're not going to lose it, but go do all that stuff anyways.
I fucking love that.
All right, what would an activist, or what would you do if you were to do this?